Hey yo, this is Robert Scrove and the DDS Podcast. Thanks for tuning in. Today we've got a treat for you. We got Elijah Wood, who's a solutions architect and design sprint facilitator over at Voltage Control in Austin, Texas. Voltage Control is a bespoke workshop agency, and Elijah's specialization is with prototyping using human-centered design practices. In our discussion, we cover the company's approach to design sprints, their upcoming conference in May, and what he's looking to achieve in the upcoming year. Enjoy the podcast, and we'll see you soon. So you're working as a solution architect over at Voltage Control. Tell me a little bit about that engagement where you're facilitating design sprints and doing innovation workshops, and a little bit about the company, so for those who are unfamiliar with it.
Yeah, I mean, I've really loved working at Voltage Control throughout this year. We focus on bespoke innovation workshops where we design custom engagements for companies looking to focus on real problems. A vast majority of those happen to be design sprints, and we always love running design sprints with our clients. But we also do 2 and 3 day engagements as well that are really curated towards their specific needs or desires that they're looking to accomplish.
And your particular specialization, and we've talked about this in the past, is prototyping. You have a particular interest in how human-centered it is, how it really achieves client problems. Can you explore that a bit with me and tell me kind of how your background ties into it and what really appeals to you about that process?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, some of my first design experience was focused on prototyping tools for disaster relief and emergency management, and really getting to engage with a complex field by prototyping out both physical and digital products for them. As I kind of learned about design sprints and got exposed to this field, it really formalized the process for me and helped me kind of identify ways to create kind of novel experiences that we could test and engage real customers with. And that's just been a fundamental realization for me, is this idea that, I mean, you can talk about it, but you got to be about it. And producing a prototype gives you something that you can sort of plant a flag and place a stake in the ground, so to speak, to gain an understanding of how customers are going to react to it. A lot of times the prototype is treated as throwaway, and there is something to be said about the significant alignment that is built amongst teams and the sort of act of that co-creation. But you got to remember, in the book, and even Jake in his workshops often says that it's important to follow up to get it right. So making sure that you take the user feedback and synthesize it using the Voltage Control scorecard, and letting that inform another additional round of prototyping, adjustments, a further testing, set of testing with 5 personas, and making sure that your personas are on target. And I think that act of following up is something that oftentimes design sprints are packaged as a 5-day process, but really we should consider how to formalize the act of iteratively prototyping the product after that.
And one of the hallmarks of what Voltage Control does is iterating on the tools that they currently use, especially when it comes to prototyping and being able to adjust to different clients. I know we've talked about some of the other things that you've developed and the company's developed and the hacks you've done. I've referred to in articles as been your scorecard and kind of how you use that for testing and other purposes. What's that like? Can you kind of give some details on that?
The scorecard is a tool that we've developed as we've run more and more design sprints. And we really wanted to identify a way to formalize the output of the design sprint by making sure that we revisit our sprint questions and we identify questions about our prototype that we want to really capture and understand what went well and what was successful and what was not successful about the prototype that we produced, so that that can help inform the iterations on that prototype moving forward. Teams can view the scorecard and input their responses to it throughout the testing, and also see the kind of trends of the responses throughout the day, so they can understand and kind of see that acid test of what's successful and what's not. And so the scorecard is something that's sort of evolved over time, as we've just continued to iterate and get feedback from our clients about how we could improve it. And Douglas has just been instrumental in making sure that it's clear, concise, and it's a tool that our clients can pick up and use alongside us with our sprints, but it's also something that they can take and use moving forward as well.
There's something else that I've seen that I'm curious about, and that's your Stitcher Workspace mural.
The Stitcher Workspace was really a product of trying to identify better ways for teams to collaborate during the prototyping day. So, you know, we are firm believers in co-creation of the prototype. We get everybody to go all hands on deck and to undergo that task together. And the Stitcher Workspace using Mural is a tool that directly reflects the dynamics of the room as it's happening. So in the shared workspace, we can see people uploading images and writing content and copy. And the Stitcher is a role that can really step in and is responsible for finalizing content and making sure that it's reflected in the prototype that's being made in a vision or keynote. And it serves at the end of the day as an archive of all of the work that had been done on the prototype and the iterations that had been done. And, you know, teams can have that as a tool to move forward as they go into further iterations or as they reflect and look back retrospectively on their sprint.
And I can imagine this is a step up from the inefficiencies of just exchanging emails and miscommunication, or even just relying on a simple Kanban board to kind of track everything, even with a timekeeper. This kind of elevates it so that everyone visually is looking at the same space and concentrating on the work that needs to be done, especially the most important valued work for the prototype.
Absolutely. We found that teams were, in separate Slack channels asking for resources or assets, or they're setting up, 12 or, 15 different email threads on separate topics for the screens and trying to coordinate that way. But work was continually being lost and sort of duplicated, as well as the Kanban board is still reflected as a part of the Stitcher workspace. And now there's not this act of having to leave your computer to go and look at the board and identify what tasks are in progress or done. Teams are just in a single shared workspace that is their Kanban board. It is the asset repository, their place of communication, as well as the storyboard as a whole is growing and evolving as they're making the prototype together.
So looking ahead to 2019 and where you see sprints going from your perspective, how are you continuing to iterate and organically grow what you do there at Vultures Control?
Yeah, I think 2019 is going to be the biggest year yet for design sprints. I mean, the momentum is huge, and the community is just going all hands on deck on making improvements to the process, be it design sprint 2.0, design sprint 3.0, the note and map hack, the user flows hack. There's just this whole litany of open source resources to help improve the process. So I think we're going to see that keep up, and I just hope the community keeps that open source mindset and rising tides raise all ships. And so I think the process will continue to get better and better from these shared learnings that everybody is undergoing. But, if we kind of go back to the original design sprint book, you got to follow up to get it right. And there's this act of responding to the prototype interviews in a way that you can condense the sort of solution, prototype, and testing, and repeat it to iterate and ensure that you're developing a quality product and preparing it as you send it into the product development cycle. And I think that, there needs to be some real specific attention towards the act of enabling teams to follow up and getting it right. And we like to say at the end of the sprint, you'll know what to do next. And that's something that we want to make sure we continue to reinforce with our teams to encourage them to focus on these human-centered design principles of solution, prototype, test, right? And repeating that iteratively until you have resounding features that people find desirable. So, if there's something I personally focus on, it's ensuring that act of following up on the prototype is valuable and helps inform teams as they move forward. Oftentimes, design sprints are packaged as that 4-day process, that 5-day process. But if you stick to the original approach, it's not just a 5-day process, right? There is follow-up related to iterating and adjusting the prototype and really honing in. And I think anything that we can do to enable teams to do that and to understand the value of it is only going to cement design sprints even more as a fundamental part of their process. And so I, in some instances, I think leaving it at 5 days or leaving it at 4 days is kind of a miss, but it's just something that's a personal focus for me of how to encourage and to make sure that that's something that is a good learning point for clients too.
It's really a conversation about the work, and it's less about understanding from the client side the nuances of the process, but really concentrating on the business outcomes and what they want to see out of their investment in doing this process.
Absolutely right. I mean, so many people come back to us and say, okay, you know, we love the sprint. We're moving forward on you know, these aspects of it. Really great stuff. You know, we've done more work in those 5 days than we've managed to accomplish in the past 9 months, et cetera. But I kind of always have this moment of dissonance where I say, well, like, did we test it again with 5 more users? Like, did we test it with a different persona? Like, how have we followed up with the original sprint? And, you know, changing the conversation of, well, how do we implement sprints at large or in a broader way in our company to, well, how do we make sure that this sprint is continuing in a way that is effective for even just this problem?
So what kind of innovation workshops do you have coming up for Voltage Control that people should know about?
Sure. You know, so we do public meetups out here in Austin, essentially twice a month. Once Douglas runs the Austin Design Sprint meetup once a month out here in Austin. So if there's any listeners that are out here, make sure to join that network. We also do design jams once a month as well, which are just to bring designers together, work on shared prompts for nonprofits or just for fun. And those workshops are just structured in a way to get the public engaged and using some of the tools of the design sprint and exposing them to stories and the resources that we have out there. Tonight, actually, as we're recording this, we're running an innovation workshop for 7 CTOs colloquium out here in Austin, where CTOs get together and are going to be discussing kind of their shared purpose and shared challenges of their teams that they can take back. We've got a ton of conferences lined up for the year, as well as, you know, design sprints are always just kind of the main request, but also have some really cool work coming up in April for a sort of larger innovation workshops, 50 plus 100 people. So really fantastic stuff coming up in 2019. I'm just ready to kind of put the foot down on the accelerator and just deliver great experiences for these partners.
How has the community outreach and the activities you've been doing there locally in Austin kind of gained you a reputation for your business with business leaders and other people in that realm?
Well, I think in Austin, people are definitely familiar with the Voltage Control brand. Douglas has been around Austin for 20 plus years in a variety of roles. And we've got a strong following on our newsletter that people really enjoy, just the simple updates of what we're doing. And the public meetups just help further cement that and get the brand out in front of people and show them that we're concerned about the community. Things like the Design Jam help show that we're interested in bringing these tools to nonprofits and sharing really effective ways for people who are unfamiliar with design thinking to use tools like this in their company, kind of just really broadcasting the meetup as far and wide as possible has kind of gained the reputation of being able to sort of publish in Google Sprint Kit and sharing out some of our innovation recipes there, as well as if you go and search on the topic section of meetups, I'm pretty sure that Austin Design Sprint is the largest meetup attendees in the world right now, or it was as of about 2 weeks ago. So that really just speaks to Douglas's diligence for building a strong community and sharing out quality content every time that we put on an event for people.
And let's get a little bit into the Control the Room conference that's happening in May, I believe, correct?
Yeah. We are super excited about Control the Room. You know, it's a conference for facilitators to come together and to share as a facilitation community. It's not just specifically curated to design sprint facilitators, but we know, you know, we really hope to see a lot of our colleagues out there at Control the Room. Really, the conference is inspired to bring facilitators, conflict resolution, issue resolution, executive coaches, et cetera, together to share methods and stories and to really find some actionable tools from other disciplines that might inspire them in their day-to-day work.
And why don't you get a little bit into the headliner? I think it's Priya Parker.
Priya wrote a fantastic book called The Art of Gathering, How We Meet and Why It Matters. So Priya was working as a sort of conflict negotiator and has facilitated meetings for some of the largest organizations in the world, and has shared about her experiences in the art of gathering. And we invited Priya to headline the conference. And we're specifically using the term headline because it is not a keynote. The experience is going to be interactive and participatory. You know, all of Control the Room is not meant to be sitting and just listening to stories. We want it to be participatory so that people can really get hands-on with exercises and to dive into these methods so that they can learn, experience them, and take them back to their teams. So, and, you know, I could talk about The Art of Gathering in more detail, but, you know, it's such a fantastic book that Douglas actually gifted it to everybody that we work with at Voltage Control. And it's kind of a core set of reading for our team out here. I think this sort of novel approach to traditional activities is the most intriguing part to me. So, you know, she begins the book by discussing this new innovative courtroom that's been sort of tested out, and they've affected the layout, the structure, the process, and are really identifying ways and changing the purpose of the courtroom to be focused on enabling the community and grow and making the community a better place, not focusing on incarceration and sort of judgment. And it's just this fantastic intro that really opens your eyes to, okay, we can rethink some of our traditional structures of gathering by reconsidering the purpose, right? And she identifies, right, that the purpose to be really compelling needs to be able to be deliberated upon. So if there's a opposition or conflict in what the purpose of the gathering should be, then that can actually enable a better gathering and an innovative gathering because people are truly reframing why it matters and what we can do to achieve that purpose. And so after the courtroom example, she sort of kickflips into this personal testimony of her planning her own baby shower. And how her husband wanted to join that baby shower, but the sort of normal conventions of a baby shower are typically all female. And she explains that if she had had this realization earlier on at that time, she would have been able to address the purpose of the baby shower and change it from the act of women celebrating the birth of a baby to altering it to become the purpose of helping a family prepare from the transition of being a couple to a family. And it's just this, like, I mean, I have goosebumps talking about it. It's such a great read. I can't wait to interact with Priya. And I think anybody who comes to Control the Room is going to be just in for an absolute treat for her headliner. I mean, we want to spread the word far and wide, and we just want to make a diverse and inclusive experience for everyone that's involved. So I think that's just spot on with the mission.
If we're talking again in 2020, which is astounding to think that it's going to be 2020 in a year, for you, what would be a great year and what would be a fantastic year?
I think a great year would be to continue doing as many design sprints and innovation workshops as possible. Always great to just continue interacting with more and more clients and spreading the word about this methodology and what we do. I think a fantastic year would be to really just reflect on and to see the results of what 2018 provided. And as we see some of the projects that we worked on to move into public release and see how the actual market responds to those is just going to be something that I haven't experienced yet. I've only been doing this for the year of 2018. But seeing those things come to fruition is just going to be something that I'm really interested in. I think to make it a truly fantastic year, just on a personal level, is just really continuing to hone some of my sort of digital design tools and softwares, making sure that every time people have a delightful experience with us, building prototypes, and just always making sure that we're staying at the cutting edge of what's out there to make these things happen as fast as possible.
Someday I see you on a presentation stage with a topic that says the art of prototyping, and it's really, really going to be a testament to the work you've done in that space.
That's really nice of you to say, it's this odd focus that, my significant other always kind of asks me, what are you reading? It's like these strange books about prototypes and softwares, and it's something that's got my heart. So I appreciate you saying that. And I'd like to be able to formalize it and make sure that there's information that is kind of kicking around in my head that is digestible by others and show people some of these intriguing tools that I use and processes. That would be a great, if you ever see an opportunity, share it my way.
Well, if I can relate, there's been plenty of things over the years that my wife has raised an eyebrow to, going, really? You're diving deep into that topic? You're doing more of that and staying up to 1 o'clock in the morning? And I just go, yeah, that's kind of me. I kind of need to go this route. I need to see what's at the end. So I think we all go there eventually at some point.
The actual design sprint method is one of those things, right? And it's we've all kind of been digging into it and peeling back the layers of what works and what doesn't work. And there's interestingly this whole aspect of psychology, architecture, team communication and dynamics, as well as business, that all sort of swarm around this formalized process. And it's almost so intrinsically interesting to groups of design sprint facilitators that I really wonder if Jake and John really knew what type of Pandora's box they were opening when they wrote the book. It's interesting because as you dig into something like the Art of Gathering, Priya mentions the ideal group sizes for accomplishing specific purposes. So she mentions in the book, 6 people is ideal for close collaboration and transparent conversation amongst the entire group. Then she kind of talks about other, 10 to 15, 25, 50 plus, 150. But she really, she came to the same conclusion that Jake and John did, in that when the design sprint swells above 7 people, you're encountering a whole litany of problems that you wouldn't have anticipated. That at its core is architecture, right? It's density of space. It's how people fit in a room. Are you comfortable with sort of proximity to one another, volume of conversation? And it's amazing as we start to see this this aspect of kind of conversation design, workshop methods and processes evolve. People are swarming around similar topics. And I think we're going to start to see a range of methods begin to blend together into the sprint process and into customized workshops for companies moving forward.
I'm looking forward to those conversations because I love the experimentation in the space that's going on. One way or another, it's really going to foster the idea that shared collaboration on a common goal in a short period of time, but really have focused attention on the outcomes and what you're going to be iterating on. Both of us live and breathe it. It just produces a lot of fantastic outcomes for clients as well as for everyone involved.
Yeah. Anybody that's not sort of focused on optimizing those outcomes, I think is just going to continue to fall further and further behind. And, we'll just see this large sort of wave of energy come from groups transitioning as they're going through organizational change, or they have sort of process directives related to human-centered design. These methods are just only going to continue to proliferate. I mean, I think you're absolutely right.
So if people want to track what you're doing in 2019, as well as what Voltage Control is up to, where should they go online?
LinkedIn, we're heavily involved there. All of my social media handles are Not That Actor. Since my full name is Elijah Wood, it's easy to find just by appending Instagram.com with Not That Actor. And you'll be taken directly to my profile pages. Voltage Control is sharing out content on LinkedIn. Our Medium pages are just constantly publishing resources. So I'd say Medium and LinkedIn are really just the optimal ways to get in touch with us and shoot us a message.
But you know what you should do is you should go out and find the actor wherever they are on set and say, hey, my name is Elijah Wood too. Can I just take a picture just so that when it starts indexing in Google, they'll be able to see you with me and you can make a connection?
Right. I think it might break the internet, man. Funny story is I actually used to live two blocks from Elijah Wood, and I knew where his house was. And he lives out here in Austin, and he's kind of enjoying his successes. And one time I was at a gas station of all places, just grabbing a little drink as I was traveling to a work meeting. And one guy saw my ID and said, oh, you're Elijah Wood, really? And he's like, I actually have the real Elijah Wood's phone number in my phone. Let's give him a call.
Dude, did you call him?
And I was like, we have to call him. And so I met this crazy guy. He's Andrew from, he was a Red Bull rep in town for South By at the time. He knew Elijah from some DJ events that they had done together. We gave Elijah a call up and just said, hey, I'm staying here with Elijah Wood, who lives two blocks from you. And Elijah was like, oh no, I'm in Nice, France right now on vacation. I'm not around. And my mind was just like, well, can I come to Nice too?
Did you follow up and say like, well, when you come back, you know, let's get together and just do the photo op and, you know.
No, I followed up with Andrew from Red Bull trying to get a direct connection, but he went back to New Zealand. He never was able to connect me directly, but I think one of these days I'm just going to go switch our mail accidentally, quote unquote, and see if he's a good guy or not.
You could just basically walk down there with a handwritten letter saying, Dear Elijah Wood, I have been trying to get a hold of you forever because my name is Elijah Wood.
It would be the most, if we get a picture together, it's the most liked Instagram picture I'll ever have. It's one of those things, man. It'd be nice. And one of these days living out here in Austin, I imagine serendipity will make our paths cross. And as I just keep trying to plug into this community more and more. So maybe one day.
I'm sure it will. I'm sure he'll show up for a design sprint someday, probably.
Oh, man. That would be ridiculous.
Well, Elijah, thank you very much for coming by and having a chat. And I hope you have a fantastic year.
Yeah, thanks so much, Robert. Really great stuff you're doing with the podcast, and you're just so active in the community and getting people starting conversations. I wish we, look forward to talking more about the Design Sprint Referral Network and what you're doing with remote sprints. I mean, it's just great stuff, man. Like, don't lose steam. Just keep it up.
I'll definitely give it a shot. And hey, I want to talk to you later about the virtual design sprint that we're doing in April and see if we can collaborate on that.
Absolutely. I'm all ears.
All right. We'll talk to you later then.
Awesome. Thanks, Robert.
Thanks again for listening to the Dallas Design Sprints podcast. If you have a question or a comment on the show, be sure to email me at robert@dallasdesignsprints.com. You can also find Dallas Design Sprints on Instagram, Pinterest, YouTube, Facebook, and even LinkedIn. Be sure to visit virtualdesignsprint.com for our upcoming global virtual design sprint happening in the month of April. Take care of yourself, and we'll see you next time.